Welcome to Truth Is Now Treason. I am Dietrich and she is Lennox. You know, I'm sorry to tell you, Lennox, but you know our new YouTube video channel?
Yes.
I have won an award. Not the both of us, just me.
And what award could that possibly be?
With my video, If You Leave Parody on our YouTube channel, I have been awarded Singer-Songwriter of the Year.
You have not. You're singing and dancing. We're so bad that it was funny.
And that is why I was given the award. You know, it's well past time where we keep giving singing awards to those who are great singers. Let's give awards to those who sing horribly so that we can have some diversity, equity, and inclusion.
No, you mean DEI, discriminate against whites, eliminate America as a superpower, and install a world government?
No, that's not what we're talking about, Miss Conspiracy Theory. You know, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, go to YouTube. And if you put in the search bar, If You Leave Parody, you will see our award-winning video. Or just go to our website, truthisnowtreason.com, and click on the YouTube icon in the upper right-hand corner, and it'll take you right to our channel.
If you go to our website, click on our menu, and check out our other American Idol episodes where we just nail it on our lyrics and singing.
Or go to Meet the Traitor, where we interview special guests.
Our Unfiltered Truth series, like this episode, is where we cover a topic for an extended amount of weeks, and my favorite is called Is This the Beginning of the End series, where we connect what is happening in the United States with global events, and we talk about it in a biblical sense, particularly a teaching about the last days.
You know, and if you missed our 4th of July episodes, we've got two of them now. Those would be under Truth Bits. For example, With or Without You and Blessed Beyond Comparison.
So welcome, traitors, to our third episode, Socialism Called. We tried it, but it didn't work. In this episode, we are going to look at another aspect of socialism that goes completely against the Bible. And in this case, it goes completely against common sense. Like we said before, the article that we are using in this series to help us is by Julie Royes. It's titled, Five Reasons Socialism is Not Christian. And we're going to give more than five in the series, but she mentions her second point as this. Socialism punishes virtue, which means it punishes those with high standards and achieving high standards. We want to see how does it actually punish it. So that's what we're going to dig into in this episode.
As Karl Marx famously said, from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs. You know, that means if somebody has too much, again, the problem here is, how do you define what is too much? Then the government is to take from them and give it to the person who does not have enough. Again, the problem being is, who gets to define who doesn't have enough?
The major problem with this is that socialists want to distribute wealth to individuals according to their need, regardless of virtue. So what does that mean, regardless of virtue? Now, this is reflected in what we talked about in our last episode. The socialist does not believe in the spiritual, so therefore there is no sin. And if there's no sin, then there is no such thing as a lazy person who does not deserve to be taken care of by others. Socialists have to believe this way, though, in order to excuse taking from one and giving to another. We want to know, how does this line up with God's word, though?
Well, Genesis 8:31 says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So the Bible clearly states that our inclination from our youngest days is towards evil. We're inclined to do things that are wicked. We're not good by nature.
And we can see this in another verse, Romans 3:12, that says, they have all turned away from God. They have all become unprofitable, and they're unprofitable because they've turned away from God. There is none who does good, no, not one. This is unredeemed mankind. He is unprofitable. In other words, it does you no good to rely on it because it will not benefit you in any way.
You know, also note there the phrase, no, not one, that was added to the end. Why? Because there is someone who have said, except me. God in his wisdom had Paul add that to remind everyone that without God, they're of no benefit and they're no good at all.
We can also see how God's word is correct in regards to this, because do you have to teach your child to be a turd? Do you have to teach your child to be selfish Or do you have to teach your child to throw a tantrum? No, you don't. And why is that? Because if they are left to their own devices, children will do all of these things naturally. And if allowed to continue to behave this way, they will grow up and continue to act this way throughout their life if they see that it will benefit them. So this is why all parents have to teach their child not to act in this manner, because parents involved in their child's life know that a child has to be taught to do what is right, proper, and moral. Without being taught this, a child will naturally operate in an evil and self-satisfying way.
You know, so does what we know about common sense and what is taught in the Bible sound anything like the socialist notion that all people are basically good? It's not even close. Why do those who push socialism believe this? These individuals have to paint a pretty picture to get ordinary citizens like you and me to buy into it, but also to believe this notion that man is moral and to help excuse giving to those who have need.
Yeah, if socialism is the utopia that it claims it is, then no one can be left out. And if no one can be left out, then we have to redefine lazy so people won't see how stupid it is to pay for someone like that. So they aren't lazy, they are underserved.
You know, for example, if someone's lazy, it doesn't matter. We are to give that person whatever he needs, regardless of how little he's working. Because in the words of Barack Hussein Obama, it's the right thing to do. You know, that was a phrase he would use all the time whenever he was trying to make a point that he knew had no logical defense. And it was a phrase he always used whenever it came to legislation that took money out of one person's pocket and put it into another one's. It's the right thing to do.
And as long as I'm president, I will not give up on this issue, not only because it's the right thing to do for our economy, and CEOs agree with me, not just because it's the right thing to do for our security, but because it's the right thing to do.
Our health care law was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do.
Whenever any institution provides aid, it runs the risk of removing God-designed rewards and consequences. It can punish those who are industrious by making them pay for those who are not. And it can reward those who aren't industrious by giving them the fruits of another man's labor. This is precisely what socialism does. It takes from the producer and gives to the one that does nothing or very little.
Interestingly, Marx mooched off others his whole life. He failed to provide for his wife and children. One of his children, Heinrich Guido, there's a mouthful. He died, unfortunately, because Karl refused to work. Karl's family was living in a boarding house with little heat, and because of that, his one-year-old child died. This is the work ethic of the guy who wanted to institutionalize taking money from others and giving it to him.
As Aristotle once noted, men start revolutionary changes for reasons connected with their private lives. And this was truly the case with Karl Marx. The revolution that he was desiring was a revolution to make sure that others would pay for his way through life. He was so lazy that he would not take care of his family. They suffered as a result, and one of them paid the price with his life because of Karl Marx's laziness.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Marx was so lazy, he actually had skin issues. He had carbuncles because he wouldn't wash up.
And he was also an atheist. And so how could an atheist create a God-centered system? He wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, when you got a guy who is an alcoholic, and he's such a chronic alcoholic, he wouldn't do anything to take care of his family. It's obvious why he created this system. He wanted others to pay for his laziness and excess. But the Bible's clear in regards to this. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that a man who fails to provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. The church also required widows who were receiving aid to have a reputation of good works. So even in dispensing aid, the church rewarded virtue and discouraged vice. And unfortunately, socialism does the opposite. But we need to make sure that we as a church have to remember that there are instances where people do need help. For example, one time, this was a couple of decades ago, Wow, I've been married more than a couple of decades. Wow. Anyway.
3 decades, yeah, actually.
We are coming up on 3 decades, actually. But anyway, quite some time ago, I lost my job. We had a couple of people from our church who had been friends with us for a long time brought us a couple of bags of groceries. It was awesome. It meant the world to us because they knew we had something happen that was not of our fault. And they helped out. We, as a church, are to help those who are poor. There are poor people out there who are trying to make ends meet, and they're doing what they can to help themselves out.
And that's not what the Bible's talking about here. He's talking about somebody who's not really doing anything.
Like you?
Or trying or expecting others to do it for him or her. We know that there are some people that are struggling to pay for their family's needs, and God sees that. But we're talking about the lazy person.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bible teaches that aid should be tied to responsibility. Anyone who refuses to work should be refused aid. This is what 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Notice that we have pointed out verses from the New Testament in regards to not giving food or money to the lazy. There are some out there who would probably have you believe that not rewarding laziness and not giving food to those who refuse to work is really Old Testament legalism. And it's not even close. This is in both sections of the Bible, the New and the Old Testament.
Here's something to consider when it comes to socialism or communism or fascism. They're all branches from the same tree. They will always fail. And here's why. Here's a simple argument that proves socialism will never work. Ask anybody 2 questions. Question number 1, if you reward people for doing something, will they do it? The answer is obvious. When you reward somebody for doing something, they will usually do it. We can see examples of this everywhere. Question number 2, when a person is offered the option of delayed gratification or immediate gratification, which one will he or she take?
Delayed.
Yeah. The answer is obvious, immediate gratification. For example, Lennox, the drive-through Sue who would go out to eat every time if she could.
I want instant gratification in that case. Give me my food now.
This is the way that people operate.
Socialism gives immediate gratification and rewards laziness. In the socialist worldview, we must give to everyone, no matter what. And when you tie laziness to immediate gratification, what is going to happen? You are disincentivizing work. You are rewarding people for being lazy, and people will do what they get rewarded for. I am rewarded for doing nothing. Excellent. I'll do nothing. I don't have to take care of my future because somebody will pay for me for as long as I'm alive. Sweet. I'll just take a nap while you go to work.
And this is why socialism has failed, and it will always fail. You reward sloth, and people will be lazy. It's amazing how we have millennia of watching people be like this, yet there are those who just don't get it.
As you can see, traders, the Bible and socialism are polar opposites. Let's be sure to tell others about this in our conversations, because what I'm finding out is that there are so many inside the church that really don't know how polar opposite they are.
You know, and some people may think, this isn't that big of an issue. It really doesn't mean anything. If the Bible speaks to it, then it does mean something. You know, God didn't put any garbage in his word. There's no filler in there. It's all good. So if it speaks about it, evidently God finds it important.
Well, too, socialism is full of lies. And so we are exposing those lies that they're telling about socialism. That's what we do here at Truth Is Now Treason. That's why we're so amazing. I'm having fun, traders.
Until next time, my fellow traders.